This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Joining us now is Matthew Lord from the Three Redneck Tenors. And the Three Redneck Tenors will be performing at the Wayne Theater here in Waynesboro coming up on Sunday night. Matthew, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, man. Just sitting here outside of the Starbucks up here in Illinois or anything. It's just cars driving by.
Hey. And for us, you know, it's just great getting a chance to learn a little bit about you before Sunday night show. First off, just tell me, maybe how did this concept, Three Redneck Tenors, come up? Your shows are so unique, having seen some clips on YouTube. How did the whole concept come about?
About nine years ago, I helped with a theater called Oluk Performing Arts there in Grapevine, Texas. Mm-hmm. And they needed a benefit, and they wanted to do it was for them and the American Heritage Foundation. And I was actually singing at the Metropolitan Opera at the time, and they asked me if I could bring some friends out and do a show like Damn Yankees or something like that. But they really had no money. They had like $3,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, you can't even get rights for that kind of money. So what they did was said, well, can you think of anything else? And I said, well, I got an idea show in my head, and it was going to be called the Three Redneck Tenors, basically based on everything was tenors back then. You had the famous three tenors, Pavarotti, Domingo, and the little feller is like what we like to say. And then you had the three Mo tenors, the three Mexican tenors, the Irish tenors. And I was finding it all quite boring, meaning three vocal types singing together all night. And so I was trying to think of something stupid, be a different spin on it. So I came up with the Three Redneck Tenors, where you wear mullets on stage and we kill a tenor at the top of it and replace him with a baritone. And that way we can create harmonies by having a high tenor, a lyric tenor, and a baritone. Mm-hmm. So I said, I just have this idea. So I'm actually at my dressing room in the Metropolitan Opera. I get a call from the mayor's office in Grapevine. It's part of the American Heritage Foundation. We approved your budget, and we're set for Three Redneck Tenors. And I said, that was just an idea, man. I don't have a show. I said, I was just telling you. So I had to hurry up and write this show called The Three Redneck Tenors. I'll make it a long story short. It benefited Oluk Performing Arts and the American Heritage Foundation. Called some friends of mine in New York. They all came out. We threw this show together, did it at the Palace Theater in Grapevine, Texas. There was an agent there that saw it and said, hey, man, if you want to go on the road, I'll put you in 35 cities next year. And I said, sure. I'd done opera for 28 years. I was, you know, at the Met, done everything you basically could do. And I said, okay. And so it started about 9 years ago doing that. We ended up on America's Got Talent the next year, which gave a big bump to everything. And we were like top 10 losers is what I like to say. And then we've been going ever since. So that's how it started, just as a benefit concert.
And so obviously no idea that this would take over the way it did and take off the way it did.
That wasn't even the intent. Yeah, it wasn't the intent of it. It was supposed to just be a one-out benefit and just goofy, you know.
Yeah. So for our listeners out there who, unlike me, haven't had a chance to look at you on YouTube yet, describe, you know, how the show goes about. It's a tenor show, like you said. There's mixes of vocal ranges there, but you all work in addition to the music and the singing, you work in other things as well.
Excuse me, yeah, I work in what?
You work in other elements of shows as well, including comedy, some improv thrown in for
oh, yeah. Shit. Right now, it's a kind of a hybrid variety show. It's morphed over the years to make it easier and more accessible for other venues. Mm-hmm. It's a very thin storyline that goes away in about 3 seconds, including the mullets, and then it becomes a interactive with the audience, improv, and it's really leading from song to song to song to song. The first half is set in the trailer park with an outhouse and all of that, and we do everything from a 7-minute TV theme song medley to a mix-up of La Donna Mobile with Country Boy by John Denver. And all of, except for Nessun Dorma, all of the classical pieces are picked from Bugs Bunny cartoons. So I got to go on man, you know, I've never been to an opera, but I knew like half those tunes. And I'll go, you watch Bugs Bunny? You know, and they're like, yeah. I go, there you go. So it's very accessible. There's no bad language in it ever, even when we played Vegas. I like to call it an adult show without adult language, so you can bring your kids, your mom, whoever you want to bring, and you don't have to sit there and worry that it's going to get out of hand or, you know, there's the shock value of the show is that we're dressed and talking and doing the things we're doing mixed with the two guys I sing with, some of the best singers in the world. And so you're sitting there watching it going, this is really weird, you know, because of the trailer park and the way we're dressed and so on. And then the second half is full tuxedos and getting into more serious music.
Yeah. Your reference to Bugs Bunny reminds me of the clips from Seinfeld where they're singing the overture curtain lights, you know, this is
the light. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it reminds me of that, yeah, where I'm sort of like that, too. That my culture comes from Saturday morning cartoons as much as anything else, I suppose.
Well, and my feeling is, and we do benefits for opera companies and stuff around the country, and I have said for years in doing opera, as long as I did, I have said for years, we're going to have to make more entertaining and to the point in America to keep the art form going. Because the times are changing and the demographic is changing and people are expecting immediate gratification, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a soundbite society, so you're going to have to get to it.
Yeah,
I think the days of packing halls out or get to demo room that runs 6 hours and top.
Yeah.
You know.
What's interesting, this show, your Three Redneck Tenors show can play anywhere and everywhere, obviously coming up here to the Wayne Theater in Waynesboro this weekend, but you played Carnegie Hall, you played the Metropolitan Opera, the Tokyo Opera House.
Oh, yeah, the Redneck Tenors have played everywhere from Cartagena, South America, to up by Seattle, to Florida, to Andalusia, Alabama. New London, Connecticut sold out because it's really about the music. I mean, we don't fool ourselves. People are laughing and they laugh till they cry in the show. But if the music wasn't first rate, it would just be a really bad comedy show.
Yeah.
So it's the mixture of the two that makes it unusual and funny.
Do you have fans come up after shows and you know, maybe make suggestions? Hey, you should add this TV theme song to your next performance.
Oh, yeah, no,
like
we have a new show opening next year called Broadway Bound, starring the Three Redneck Tenors, and we did some previews of it. And personally, I'm not a Cats fan, Cats or Cats, either one, the musical or Cats.
Uh-huh.
But in a span of a week in Stuart, Florida, which is a theater that's run by John Lester, whose dad is Frank Lester, who wrote Guys and Dolls and...
Yeah. Yeah.
And wrote How to Succeed in Business and all of that. We had the audience that came up every night, and we did not have a number from Cats in it. In a span of a week, I had over 500 people say, man, you got to add something from Cats. You got to put something in Cats in there. And we added Memory from Cats to the show. Now, our spin on it, because, you know, but we added that. And the show has morphed into what it is now, which is really like you're watching Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows.
Uh-huh.
It's a hybrid variety with a lot of music. And the reason it has morphed from the original, because it was like more of a Broadway show with tons of costume changes and a big storyline and all of that when it originally started, to what it is now. And the reason it has morphed in over the years is people have said, man, we would just love for you. Can you just be funny and sing? You know?
Yeah.
And we listened to the shows because prior to it, I'd written comedy for people, but I had never written a show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd spend hours telling our audience, come up and tell me what you think. How could we make it better? Because, you know, it's not like I've written Seinfeld a series or something and have this huge lineage of writing shows. And what it has become now, we're in 122 cities this year. It's had a huge resurgence of popularity. And I think it's because we've been listening to our audiences.
That's great to hear that interaction.
Yeah.
I'm a
well,
writer.
I always
too.
Say when you come to see the show, I go, man, and I hope you didn't learn a thing. You know,
I'm a writer too, and I've written everything from books to wrestling scripts. I've written scripts
wow.
for live local wrestling shows, and you have to listen to the audience, and you have to almost sit out the chair with them, so to speak, and see the show through their eyes sometimes to make it better. And it sounds like
and so many shows don't do that. They're like, you know, this isn't for the audience. We're creating art. We're doing this. We're doing that. And I'm like, we don't talk religion. We don't talk politics. We don't. And in this day and age, everybody's talking politics. We don't. We think you want to come there for 2 hours and laugh and hear good music. And like I said, not learn a thing. You're there
That's
just to have a good time.
Yeah.
And I want the audience to be entertained and get what they want. And why wouldn't I? Look, there's always an outlier. You know that
yeah.
if you've written. There's always.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, if 9 out of 10 like something, and you can't please everybody, and one person says something, you're going to get 9 out of 10.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But if 5 out of 10 say, I want cats, or, you know, I want to, you know, you need more music or you need more comedy, then you're going to have to start listening. If you want to succeed,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes. Well, the show is coming up for us here in Waynesboro, Virginia. It's Sunday night at the Wayne Theater. More information on the Wayne Theater website, waynetheater.org. I want to thank Matthew Lord. Matthew, thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you Sunday night.
Man, we're excited. And if you want to come back ahead of time, come on back. And we got a big jet grizzly bear on stage and stuff, and we'll get some photos for your podcast. And your website and all that. It'll be a lot of fun.
That does sound good. Well, thank you, Matthew. Thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.